Welcome to the February 21st, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is from the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Fear of Disappointing God. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Wait, what? Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, yes, very good. I want you to reach around to your neighbor, shake their hand, say, you are so glad that they're here this morning. All right. Now talk to your other neighbor and say, aren't you glad Jeff's here today? Never. No. Okay. I'm watching. All right. It's the teenagers. All right. We welcome you to College Park. We are so glad that you are in worship with us today. We like to find out members and guests who are here. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike to fill that out. We ask you put your name down, check the appropriate boxes, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. If you could, once it gets to the end, if you could send it back to the middle, that would be helpful for us. Members, this is your chance to find out the name of a guest that's on your pew. Introduce yourself at the end of the service. We do ask, once the pew pad gets back to the middle, if you could, the first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that would help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Several things are happening in the life of our church. I want you to take note of the upcoming events that are listed in your bulletin. Several things are happening. We're in the third week of our Fearless study. We've been doing our recreation morning worship service at 9 o'clock, and it's been kicking off the focus on being fearless. And we continue to do that through small groups. So it happens during Sunday school on Sunday night and as well as during the week. Many opportunities for you to plug in to the Fearless study. Also, there is the five love languages. And we are into our third week of this discussion for parents of children. Five love languages of children, the book by Dr. Gary Chapman. That is in the coffee house every Wednesday night, and you are more than welcome to come and be a part of that. Reading the book is not mandatory. We just want you to come and be a part of that conversation. Reminder, there is children's time today. This is a time right after the first hymn. We invite all the children to come down front and to sit with me for just a few minutes for children's time. Today is a very special day in the life of our own Mary Keltner. We are going to celebrate her ordination into ministry today at 4 o'clock. And all of you are invited to come. This is a high day for her and for her family. And we want to, as a church, to celebrate her and support her and encourage her. And I remember very, very vividly the day I was ordained. It is a powerful day. It is a service that you will not want to miss. And so today at 4 o'clock here in the sanctuary is Mary's ordination. There will be a reception that will follow in Smith Hall. So we hope you make every effort to be here this afternoon. Other things are listed there for upcoming events, as well as the schedule for the week, the opportunities for the week that you'll see. Many things are happening. Reminder to our youth, we are all the small groups are headed out on a trip tonight from 6 to 7:30. Make sure you get with your small group leaders to make sure where you are headed. Let's see. Is that it? Any other announcements? We good? Intermediate boys made it to the championship. Yes. Intermediate boys, yes. Yes. Been very proud of our basketball teams. They have represented College Park very well this year and our coaches. And so we're excited as that continues this week. So We want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. You've already given us your information just a few moments ago on the pew pad. The ushers are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give something to you. So if you're a guest with us this morning, if right where you are, just raise your hand as the ushers come back down the aisles now. They would like to give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also a little bit of the story of College Park, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on right now. We are so blessed by you being with us today, and we pray that this hour of worship will be a blessing to you. God is already here, and he is ready to show up and to show us what he wants to do in us and through us. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, it is our prayer that as we begin this worship service, that we do it the right way, inviting you to be a part of this worship service. May your Spirit come into this place. Hear us as we sing, as we pray, as we celebrate, and as we are ready to learn. This worship service is meaningless without you. So be here, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
kids, come on down. Jason, you can sit right here. All right. Come sit. Come sit. We got more. Here they come. All right. I know. We got a lot. Yeah, I know. Good to see everybody. Come on down. Take a seat. Everybody looking this way. I have a story that I want to tell you. I've never told this story before. Okay? Today, we're talking about a word. It's a big word. Disappointment. Ordained. Yes, that's a word we're going to talk about a little later today. That's a big word. That's an important word. Disappointment. What does that word mean? Disappointment. What does that mean? Tomas? Okay, could be mad. What do you think? Okay, I want to tell you a story. Tyler, what do you think? Okay, I want to tell you a story where I was afraid I disappointed my dad one day. I was first year I was in college. Second year I was in college. Let me back up a little bit. Does anybody know what a businessman does? Yeah. Kinda. Yeah, I know. Not many people. A businessman. I'll tell you, my dad owned his own business. He was, cell phones, the bag phones. Y'all remember the bag phones? My dad used to sell cell phones and other radios and things. And he had a big business where he did that in North Carolina. Throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, we would sell radios and things and cell phones, and we would make sure they worked for people. Okay? And so that I lived from the time I was your age all the way through college. I worked with my dad. I worked at his office. I did all kinds of stuff. And he gave me all kinds, from washing trucks, which I didn't like very much, to working with customers and stuff. I was really busy. But I remember going through school, and Dad had always said, I'm building this business so you can take over. You can be like me. Kind of like want to be a policeman or be like your mother, your father, your grandfather, be like your parents, And I remember when I was in college, I'd grown up with Dad. He was telling me, this business is going to be yours one day. And I remember my first year at Campbell University that I felt God call me into ministry to come to be like a youth minister or a children's minister. But I had to tell my dad. And he had told me for years and years that I have this plan for you. Do you think I was nervous to tell him that I was going to go into the ministry and I wasn't going to go into the business? How would you be nervous to say something?
Plan might have been for you to be.
That's right. And so I was really nervous, and I didn't want to disappoint my dad. I don't want to disappoint my parents. Do you? You don't like disappointing them. Well, I had to have a real conversation with my dad, and my whole family was there. And I remember saying, I know, Dad, that you've built this business for a long time, and you've worked really hard so that we could have nice things, and you want me to take this business, but I don't feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. I think God's called me in to do the ministry, and I will never, ever, 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 ever forget what my dad said. He said, "Son, you need to do what God wants you to do." Now, what that did for me that day, can you imagine how I was worried about disappointing him, right? But what did I actually do? I made him proud. Sometimes we fear disappointing people. And sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we mess up. But really, we need to be worrying. If I had gone into Dad's business, you think I would have disappointed God? I wouldn't have been doing what he wanted, right? But through my dad and through my mom, they said, you know what? You need to do what God has called you to do. Then you won't disappoint me. That's what we need to do. You need to do what God has called you to do, to take care of your mom and your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your grandparents, people in the church. That was a tough conversation for me to have. But when my dad said, son, you need to do what God's called you to do, how do you think I felt? I felt pretty good. And that's exactly how we feel when we seek after what God wants for us to do. Can you help me do that? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you forgive us, that you give us second chances, and you have a purpose for us. So many times we feel like we've disappointed you. But God, you love us. No matter the mistakes that we make, when we ask forgiveness, you forgive us. And we thank you for that. Help us to remember that you love us so very much. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Y'all go have a seat.
A call to confession from Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, this week we've been reminded in big and small ways of the incredible love that you have for us, of how big and significant and powerful and forgiving and merciful that you are. Lord, forgive us for when we limit you and we tend to put you in our own box and think that, yes, while the Scripture says you can forgive us and the Scripture promises your grace and mercy, that we've sinned too much, we've done too much, and today it's not going to happen. Lord, forgive us for putting limits on you, because that we have to believe the Scripture, we have to believe what you have done for us, and that your grace is limitless, that your mercy knows no end, and that your love for us is every day and ever present and all powerful. Lord, we have sinned and we have fallen short of your glory, but we believe in your holy word and we believe in the promise of Jesus Christ that he died on the cross to save us for our weaknesses yesterday and today and tomorrow. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves and you, to turn those over to you this week so that we won't carry around the baggage of sin and shame for a past mistake or sin, that we won't carry around the burden of what we did yesterday to a friend or neighbor or family member or stranger that was not what you would have us to do. Lord, we lay it at your feet. We ask for your mercy and your forgiveness, even though we've asked for it every day of our lives. We trust you, Lord, and we thank you that you are bigger than sin, that you are bigger than death, and that no mistake that we can make can separate us from your love. Lord, that's such an overwhelming thought, I can barely say it out loud. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the grace and the mercy that you show to us. Help us to return the favor to you this week by seeking you out, by running to you and trusting you that you are who we know you are, and that you will save us from our sin and deliver us from evil through the death of your Son that you sent for us yesterday and today, and that will make all the difference in our lives. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are to us and the promise that you give us that is far more than we deserve. And it is in you that we trust. Amen. An assurance of pardon from 1 Peter, the second chapter of 1 Peter, verses 24 and 25. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. This is an assurance of pardon, and it is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jeremy, and a couple weeks ago, Mary asked me if I would come up and talk to you about God. So I should do that. That's chewing gum. So the thing is, I really didn't want to, kind of. It's something I'm not really comfortable with. Have you ever seen these commercials? They were, I think, in the mid-90s or the early 90s or something like that. And it was for a cereal, probably Frosted Flakes or something. And these people are in a dark room and you can't see their face. And they're saying how much they love this cereal. But they're really ashamed. They're in this dark room and they're ashamed because they don't want to admit that they love this children's cereal. It's sort of like that for me. It's not that I don't love God. It's just a little uncomfortable. You know, how often do you talk about God? I don't talk about God very much. Weddings, funerals, more weddings and funerals, I guess. I don't really go out of my way to talk about God to everyone. Because it's uncomfortable. Because God is so perfect. You know, and I'm not. I'm certainly not perfect. And it's kind of hard for me to relate to God in that way. My brother, I have an older brother. His name is Jason. My big brother, he's older and he's bigger. I know that's hard to believe, but he's bigger. He's a big guy. And we went to high school. He's a couple years older than me. And we played football. Or I should probably say that he played football. And I just sort of stood on the sidelines in my clean uniform. But my brother was fantastic. You named the record, and he broke it. Tackles in a game, tackles in a season. I think he has tackles for a career. Sacks in a game, sacks in a season, blocked kicks in a season. You name it, he's got it. And in the locker room in the football locker room, on the wall, they had painted all these records. And right next to it was my brother's name in paint on the wall. You know, sacks in a game, Jason Hoherts. Tackles a season, Jason Hoherts. You know, any record, Jason Hoherts. And it was really hard for me to kind of live up to that. And to boot, he was a straight-A student on top of it. So he got a full ride to a Big Ten school. And I won't tell you which one, the Ohio State University, but he did very well for himself. Go Big Ten. He did very well for himself there and graduated, decided to go to law school, became a lawyer, and now he's a lawyer in Washington, D.C. And it's kind of hard to live up to that, you know? I mean, I make mistakes. I'm not as cool as my brother. I make mistakes, and my friends know I make mistakes, and my parents know I make mistakes. My brother knows I make mistakes. My fiance knows all about all the mistakes I've ever made, and she would love to tell you about them sometime, I'm sure. But it's not like I'm complaining, you know. I have an okay life. You know, I graduated from college, and I'm still in school, and I like what I do. It's just sometimes it's hard to be around someone that's so good. You know, it's hard to be around my brother. And in the same way, it's kind of hard to talk about God because he's perfect. And I think someday, you know, it'd be really nice to be able to be in a room with my brother and not feel like, you know, everyone thinks I'm the disappointment or I'm not as good. And it would be nice to be around and talk about God without also feeling that I'm just so inadequate and not quite as good. And And it'll be nice to be comfortable with that someday.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we come to you this morning with nothing to say but thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your amazing grace. I pray but one thing this morning, God, and that is that each of us would know your will for us, and that you would grant us the courage to act on that will. I pray that in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
I'm growing old and feeble. Stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm near and chilly Jordan.
Oh, how will you?
Have you ever found yourself in a place that you never dreamed that you would go? Now, I'm not talking about necessarily literally or physically speaking, although that may be part of it. But a place in your life where you go, how in the world did I end up here? And I'm talking in a negative context. And how does that happen? And those questions pop up. Now that I'm here, how can God possibly forgive me? I'm such a disappointment to Him. And you may have seen the illustration before, but I'm going to do it again because it's particularly appropriate this morning. And what I want you to do is imagine that the center of the sanctuary, that this area down, that's in God's will. That's in center of God's will, right in line with target there, what God wants from you. And I searched around for something that I could make representative of evil, a place that you would never go, something you shouldn't do, and I came up with this guy. And y'all don't get mad, but anyway. This is symbolic of that place that you never thought you would go, that place that Satan wants you to go to hang out with him, and you go, there's no way. I'm not going to go there. I can't go there. And I don't mean to pick on anybody, but this week, I don't know if you heard Tiger's big confession and all of that. I bet 5 years ago, if someone said, this is where you're going to be 5 years from now, he would have thought, there's no way. There's no way. So how do you get from here to there? How does it happen? Because when Satan tempts you, most good Christians go, no way, man, I am not going there. There's no way. But it's very subtle. Russ, come here a minute. Come here a minute. Russ is going to be me. I didn't interrupt anything there, did I? Okay, all right. Russ is going to be me. And see, this is what happened. I say, Russ, do you want to go there?
No
way. Uh-uh. No, not going to happen. But see, it's subtle because you hear this little voice that says, Russ, it won't hurt you just to come part of the way. I mean, it really won't damage your testimony. You still go to church. You're a good boy. And it's not going to hurt you to come over here. So just come halfway. Work with me here. Just come halfway. Just come halfway, okay? Now see, now Russ is still, he's not here. He's all good. He's still got his act intact, right? Okay? And so he thinks. So we think. But see, something changes here because then temptation, Satan goes here and says, Russ, you're doing well. Son, you know, your parents are proud of you. You're not disappointing anybody. The church, I mean, we're all so proud of you, son. You know, but, you know, you need to relate to other people a little bit better. So in order to do that, you probably need to experience a little bit of that. So just come about halfway again toward where you are. And see, you're okay right there, right? No damage done. No damage done. It's all good. You're still intact. You haven't gone to that bad place. But then Satan does something else. He moves even further out of sight. And he says, Russ, it's okay. You're not going to harm anybody. You know, nobody's going to know. And it's going to be all right. So just come on over this way a little bit right about there. And see, if you had asked Russ or me or you, if you wanted to come here, you would say, no way. But by what he does, the way temptation catches us, it's a slow fade. It's a slow boil that gets us to this point. And then you wake up and you go, how in the world did I get here? How in the world can God forgive me? And see, maybe the bigger question is, how can I forgive myself, let alone God? Because I know he probably can't forgive me. I've disappointed him so bad, I can't even forgive myself. Thank you, buddy. How did I get there? It's like the frog in a kettle. You've heard me use this illustration. George Barna wrote a book, a great book. It was back about 1987, 88, something along that line, 89. It was called The Frog in the Kettle. And what the illustration he uses is, and this, you can try this out. I don't recommend it in chemistry class, but it does work. If you'll take a pot of water and get it to a rolling boil and toss a frog in there, it sounds cruel, but the frog will jump out because the frog senses the heat. And the frog is, even with that little bitty tiny brain we found when we dissected them, they're still smart enough to get out of the water when it's boiling, okay? But you can take a frog, put it in a pot of cold water, set it on the stove, frog swim around, doing its thing, and turn on the heat and increase it gradually, and it will boil to death. Why? It cannot sense the gradual increase in the temperature. And before you know it, you're having frog legs for supper at his expense. Okay? But see, that's what happens to us. It changes so gradually, and we slip down that slope, rationalizing it the whole way. Much in line with what we heard this week was, I felt I was entitled. I worked my whole life, so why shouldn't I have all those pleasures? See, we may not go there. But we use different set of rationalization, don't we? Let's be honest. We're all sinners here. We're all forgiven. But we're all sinners. We know how that happens. And the question that comes up from this discussion is very naturally, can our past really be forgiven? When we find ourselves there, how do we get back here? Can God forgive everything that happened from this point to that point? And Scripture says definitively, yes. But can they really be forgiven? Let's acknowledge we're a lot like stray animals, aren't we? We are. You know, stray animals, if they're not tethered up, if they're not tied to something that has significance in their life, sometimes they'll just wander off. And they'll wander a little bit further and wander a little bit further. Before you know it, there is a point where animals cannot find their way home. For different breeds of dogs, it's much farther away than any of us would survive. But there is a point where we can't get home. We're lost at that point. And Jesus recognized that. And he gave us a lot of parables about being lost, right? The lost coin, you know, the son parables, you know, all these parables about being lost. He understood that. Because there's a point in our life sometimes where we recognize we're not right here. We're not in the full fellowship of God. And when that happens, understand, who moved? It wasn't God. Let's see, it wasn't God, and I'm the only other one involved. Yeah. We wandered off. God does not move. He promised never to leave or forsake us. But yet we turn and we leave him. So the issue is often how we mishandle the fear at the moment when we recognize that we've wandered off. Let me give an example. Think about Adam and Eve. Now, this kind of all goes back to them anyway, doesn't it? You know, think about Adam and Eve. Suppose they had responded differently to the serpent. You see, just suppose that when the serpent planted that seed of doubt in their mind about how much God cared for them, because see, that's what happened. Because he said, you know, look, if God let you eat of that tree, then you'll know as much as he does. And see, he really doesn't want that. Well, Adam and Eve knew better, but that seed of doubt that he planted, God really doesn't care about you like he says he does. Otherwise, he would want you to know and to do everything that he does. That fear of, well, maybe God doesn't care as much about me as I thought. Maybe, God didn't tell us the whole truth. And if they had responded differently to the serpent, if they had said, yo, slime ball, get back in the hole and shut your mouth. That's a loose translation. If they had said that, the outcome would have been dramatically different, wouldn't it? But you know, we can't point a finger at them. We do the same thing. We do exactly the same thing. They mishandled their fear, and it did them in. Fear mismanaged leads to sin. When God went looking for them in the garden, where were they? They were hiding. They were hiding. They were afraid. They were ashamed. And so they hid. They wandered off. They didn't want to dwell in their guilt, and so they tried to hide from it. But God sought them out. He went looking for them. And that's exactly what He does. He seeks us out. Jesus seeks us out. You know, there's a story, a wonderful story. It's in Matthew 9, and it's about a paralytic that was, a man who'd been paralyzed, that was brought to Jesus and put at His feet. Now, I don't know what you would have expected if you were in that circumstance. If you were a bystander, what would you expect Jesus to do? That's an interesting theological discussion in and of itself. But what would you expect Jesus to do here? You know, given His track record, I'd probably expect something like, dude, you're healed. Walk home. But He didn't do that. That's not what He said. He looked at the man, and Scripture tells us He said, take courage. Now, that's a bit bizarre. He said, don't be afraid. Take courage. He said, take courage, son. See, take courage is the nature of the message. Son is the nature of the relationship. Child, son. Someone I care about deeply, intimately. Take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven. The nature of the message, the nature of the relationship, and the nature of the problem. You see, the real problem is our sin. Take courage, son, daughter. Your sins are forgiven. That is the message that Jesus wants us to hear. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says it kind of another way. He says, we are delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of the Son. S-O-N. The kingdom of the Son. What does that look like? Well, it's a kingdom where we serve God. And why do we serve God? We serve God because He is the God who does not abandon us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't wander off when He's busy or preoccupied or something else. He doesn't do that. Jesus loves us too much to leave us in doubt about His grace. And that is the message of why He will not abandon us. That is why God can look on our sin, is because of the sacrifice, the grace that was exhibited through Jesus Christ. In John 3:18, we know John 3:16, right? It appears at every sporting event. Some guy's got it painted on his chest or across his forehead or something. He's holding up a sign, or, you know, they're doing it. Everybody knows John 3:16. But John 3 is an encounter between Nicodemus and Jesus. We know what He said in verse 16, but verse 18, Jesus assures Nicodemus that he who believes in Him is not condemned. I don't know about you, but he who believes in Him is not condemned. No matter where we find ourselves, we're not condemned. And to a crowd that was following Jesus, He had some interesting words. Now, let me step back just a second and give you a background on this crowd that was following Jesus, because it's a lot like the crowd today. This crowd that was following Jesus was following Him because Jesus did lots of cool things. He healed people. You know, he did all kinds of amazing miracles. And they were following Him because they wanted to see what was going to happen next. We're kind of like that, aren't we? But here's the thing. When Jesus gave them the message I'm getting ready to tell you in a minute, When Jesus spoke these words, the crowd's response was, who does he think he is? That's just Joe and Mary's boy. You know, who does he think he is? Because the message that he gave them was this. Everyone who looks to the Son, S-O-N, looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up in the last day. Awesome, awesome promise. But it didn't go over well with the home folk because they watched him grow up and they said, whoa, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's saying he's sent from heaven. He's saying he is the S-O-N with a capital S. He's the Messiah. In John, his first letter, chapter 5, 1 John 5:13, it says, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It didn't say think. Didn't say hope. That you may know that you have eternal life. Previous chapter, John writes, perfect love expels all fear. Perfect love expels all fear. So why do we fear disappointing God when we know the nature of His grace? Now, let me make one distinction. Some of you may be sitting there going, well, you know, it's probably a kind of a healthy thing to fear disappointing God. Yes, within reason. It's like Jeff, when he was talking to the children, you don't want to disappoint somebody you care about, right? I mean, that makes perfect sense. You don't want to disappoint your children. You don't want to disappoint your parents. You don't want to disappoint the people in the pew beside you. You don't want to do those things. There's a difference between that and living in the fear that you will do it. Because perfect love expels all fear. Perfect love expels all fear. So what do? If we know that that's God's plan for us, what do? Let me make a suggestion. Tether, and I use this because of the stray pet analogy, tether your heart to God's promises. Understand what they mean. Why? Because nothing fosters courage like a clear grasp, a clear understanding of what grace is. Amazing grace. You see, Paul gave a lot of instruction about this, and in the letter of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11, hear these words. God's readiness to give and forgive is now public. Salvation is available for everyone. Tell them all of this. Tell them all of this and build up their courage. Not for selfish reasons, but for the reason of understanding. Nothing fosters courage like a clear understanding and a grasp of grace, what God's grace is really all about. And understand, if you have not accepted God's forgiveness, you're doomed to fear. Did you hear that? And you go, wow, that's a depressing message, preacher. Thanks for that little word today. But it's true. Because if you haven't accepted and embraced God's grace, what are you living on? You're living by some moral code that says, well, I really don't want to do that because it wouldn't be, you know, productive for society. Or some such as that. You're living on some sort of moral code or some sort of legalism that is dependent upon your strength. That's dependent upon your integrity. That's dependent upon your ability to resist the temptation that's all around you. Why do that when you can embrace the grace that God's given us? Release yourself to Him. You see, His promise to us, not just during this season of Lent, but His promise to us every single day, hear these words. If we confess our sin to Him, He's faithful, He's just, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us. Here's one translation. cleanse us from all wickedness. That preacher's good in the mountains. Wickedness. I like the words. But you get the point. Wickedness, unrighteousness, whatever word you want to use there, it means the same thing. He has cleansed us from that. If we're faithful to confess, He is faithful, just, and will cleanse us. He'll make us new. He'll make us new creations in Christ. That is an awesome promise. That is an awesome privilege. So when you find yourself in that place that you thought you would never go, and you're afraid that you're going to disappoint God, you're going to disappoint your parents, that you could never forgive yourself, that other people are going to find out, yeah, you've messed up. But through Jesus Christ, there's amazing grace that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we know You don't want us to live in fear. And if we think about it, I guess the fear that we experience sometimes is selfish because we're depending on our own righteousness. And so we confess that to You. We pray that You would forgive us. And we claim the promise and embrace the joy that You will. Father, we pray that as we take what we've learned this morning from Your word and apply it to our lives, that our hearts would be changed, that our outlook on life will change. Father, we love You, and we pray that our actions would demonstrate it more clearly. Not for the sake of a show, but for the sake of a witness. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know, you don't have the nature of the relationship we were talking about. You're not a son of God. You're not a child of God. We want to give you an opportunity this morning to embrace the amazing grace that Jesus offers freely to you. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. And as we do, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you, pray with you, lead you to the point where you can understand the nature of God's relationship and what He desires for you. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I've been living in fear. I've been living in defeat because I'm trying to do this by myself. Understand, that's not what God's plan for you is. I can say that definitively, and Scripture will back me up. That is not the life He wants you to lead. He wants you to lead a life that's dependent on His strength. Amen? On His strength. And if you slipped into a pattern of handling things yourself, it's time to kind of turn that boat around. And He'll do that for you. He'll give you the strength to do that. Just ask Him. As we're singing, as we're praying, if you want to come here to the front, we'll have people, I think, the prayer warriors, they'll be coming here. You're welcome to come here, pray. I'll be glad to talk with you. Whatever you need to kind of turn that boat around and get back on track, kind of stay centered in God's will for your life. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, we receive members by a number of ways. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision, if you would like to make that public, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing together now.
Thank you.
I invite you back for a service that will be very meaningful, I know, to you and to Mary at 4 o'clock for her ordination service and celebration here. And if you would like to be a part of that, we welcome you. If you would like to extend and write a letter this week as well, and doing that, congratulations to her. Those things, as Jeff said, those of us who have been through that, we remember those days. They're very important. So I invite you to participate however that you can in that celebration today. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the victory that we have over death. Father, we know that you love us so much that you sent him. Help us to live in that glory, to live in that grace. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.